AEW had a monkey wrench thrown into its plans on Tuesday for its Full Gear pay-per-view when Tony Khan announced that former AEW World Champion Jon Moxley would be entering an alcohol inpatient treatment program. I'm going to read to you the tweet that Tony posted. This was just yesterday. After, matter of fact, it was right after the World Series ended. Right when the Braves won the World Series, Tony Khan put a tweet up, and it read as follows. Jon Moxley has allowed me to share with you that he is entering an inpatient alcohol treatment program. Jon is a beloved member of the AEW family. We all stand with him and Renee and all of his family and friends as he shifts his focus to recovery. Jon is making a very brave choice to get help, and we are embracing his choice and supporting him however we can. I'm proud to call Jon a friend, and like many of you, I am also a fan of Mox. I look forward to a time in the future when he is eventually ready to return to the ring. Until then, thank you for supporting Jon and respecting his privacy at this time. The announcement came the same day that Moxley's new book dropped. It's called Mox, which is now available. And 24 hours before he was scheduled to wrestle Orange Cassidy in a semifinal match in the AEW World Title Eliminator Tournament, which he was expected to go on and face Bryan Danielson in the finals at Full Gear. That was the expectation coming into the show tonight. Here's a man, when you think of Jon Moxley and you look at everything that's going on right now in this man's life, you look at everything that's going on right now in this man's career, he's one of the biggest names in the entire company. Here's a guy who should be on top of the world right now. He's got a new baby girl. He's got a beautiful wife. He's got a new book out. Professionally, he seems to be in a much happier place than he was previously. Seems pretty content doing what he's doing now in AEW. And when you really look at that, to me, it just shows that no matter what, no matter who you are, doesn't matter how big of a star you are, makes no difference. You are not immune to addiction, whether it's drug addiction, whether it's alcohol addiction, whether it's any other kind of addiction, food addiction. There's all types of addictions. Everybody has their issues. Everybody has their vices. Nobody is immune. And just because somebody seems to be happy or has all these wonderful things going on in their life does not mean that privately there isn't something that they're struggling with. You know, this guy Henry Ruggs was in the news last few days, NFL player, 22 years old. He was driving up to 156 miles an hour. Think about that, 156 miles an hour. Under the influence, ends up being pulled over for DUI, not pulled over, but ends up being charged with DUI. His blood alcohol level more than twice the legal limit. So he's in Las Vegas, which ironically is where Moxley and Renee live, also in Las Vegas. First of all, whether or not you're sober, it's ridiculous to be driving anything 156 miles an hour, unless you are on the track as a NASCAR driver. You should not be driving 156 miles an hour, sober or otherwise. But that's just one recent example of what I was just saying as far as nobody is immune to that sort of thing. It doesn't matter if you are a celebrity or an athlete, because it doesn't just affect them. This doesn't just affect famous people. This is not something that only affects entertainers or athletes, singers, wrestlers. It affects you and me. Normal, everyday people who are not on television, who are not making hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions of dollars a year. It's something that humanizes you. It is the ultimate equalizer, because no matter where you are on the pecking order in life, it kind of brings all of us down, I think, to the same level. I can share one example, and I'm sure, you know, there's a lot of people who are watching this stream right now, who listen to the podcast or who are joining us live in the chat. I guarantee you that you either know somebody, whether it's a friend or a family member or a neighbor or a colleague, somebody you work with or maybe previously worked with. Maybe it's something you're going through yourself. Maybe it's something you're going through right now. Maybe the people around you don't even know. I worked with somebody a number of years ago, and I've lost contact with him. But this is going back a number of years, who had a similar issue. And he had a family, too. Two kids, you know, house, everything. And he had a lot of different issues, but he had an issue with alcohol as well. And I remember a bunch of us, you know, would talk to him from time to time because, you know, you would have happy hour at work and he would always stay behind because he didn't want to be around that sort of thing. And you could understand that, right? Of course. But the one common theme that we always heard when he would tell the story about all the shit that he went through when he hit rock bottom and, you know, he almost lost his family and his kids and it was a horrible situation. But one thing that you hear from a lot of people who have gone through this is this idea of shame. They feel shame. They're almost embarrassed to say anything. Friends, family, they want to keep it a secret. Well, I don't want anybody to know. I'm too ashamed. And in this case, you know, look, I will say, if you're somebody like John Moxley, because it can't affect anyone, even somebody in his position to, you know, turn around, and he's somebody who's in the public spotlight a lot, and people are going to say shit on social media. I mean, you know how things are. And I think for him to go ahead and say, Tony Khan, hey, go ahead and let everybody know what's going on here. It would have been very difficult for AEW to hide the fact that something was wrong with John Moxley, because people were going to know the minute he didn't show up on Dynamite tonight. It'd be like, why is Moxley all of a sudden out of this tournament when he was probably going to go on to the pay-per-view in the finals? So, you know, it would have put AEW in a very awkward situation anyway. But Moxley went to Tony Khan and said, look, I want you to go ahead and share this with everybody. Let everybody know what's going on here. Let's just leave it all out in the open and just be honest. Let's just go with honesty as a policy here and let people know the truth about what's going on. And as somebody who is in the public spotlight, to admit that you have a problem, especially if you're a proud man, you know, you have all this pride, you don't want to admit that you have this weakness, it's not an easy thing to do. It goes to what CM Punk was saying in his promo tonight. You know, the courage that it takes to really make a decision like that, especially when you're somebody living your life in a very public way. You know, if you or me are going through something like that, I mean, outside of maybe a close circle of friends, you don't really have to say anybody. Nobody really has to know what's going on. But it's different. You know, when you're in this kind of business and your whole life is out there, it's different. And I'm sure it's not an easy thing. And it's not an easy thing to do just because the timing is not ideal, right? I mean, it would have been very easy for him to wait a few weeks, go to the finals at Full Gear, win or lose, get that over with, and then go ahead and say, you know what, I need to take some time off. I have something that has to be addressed. But, you know, he recognized that this was a problem that simply couldn't wait, and it has to be addressed now. And I hope that he comes out on the other side of this better than he was going in, because as I said, he has a baby, he has a five-month-old daughter. He might have a five-year-old daughter somewhere, I don't know, but he's got a five-month-old, you know, he and Renee back at home. And I say this not from personal experience, but just from friends who have kids, it changes you. It changes your whole worldview, your whole perspective on life. When you have a kid, especially that first kid, it really does, even if you don't expect it to, it changes you. And I wouldn't be surprised to find out, you know, later on that what it was that made him go ahead and take the steps that he took to admit that he had a problem and have it addressed is the fact that he is now a father. And he's got to take his family into consideration here. It's not just about him anymore. I would not at all be surprised to find out that that had a lot to do with him going and seeking help. When it comes to the world title tournament and when it comes to who's paying for the rehab, is it WWE or is it Tony Khan and AEW? None of that shit matters. I saw so much back and forth online. You know, I blocked so many people. I was all this bullshit on my timeline and the back and the forth and the tribalism. This is not the place for it. I mean, people are just, sometimes they're just really fucking dumb. And they lose sight of what's important in situations like this. None of that bullshit matters. Only thing that matters is that this guy goes and gets the help that he needs. I wish him well. And I hope he gets himself all sorted out. But it would be nice if also he kind of served as an example, I think, to other people and get rid of whatever this stigma is, that there is still a stigma that exists when it comes to addiction and stuff like this. There's nothing wrong with admitting that you have a problem and that you want to get help. It takes a lot of balls to do that. Not a lot of guys like asking for help. Not a lot of guys like asking for directions if they get lost on the road, which used to be more of a problem. Now you have Waze and you have that, you know, Google Maps, and it's hard to get lost. But it's not an easy thing for everybody to do. And so maybe this serves as an example to help even one person. And it can be a positive thing. But in his case, he has a family who depends on him. So I hope everything works out. Pro wrestling takes a back seat when it comes to this type of stuff. This is life shit. Pro wrestling takes a back seat to life shit. So the best to Jon Moxley and his family. This is your AEW Dynamite review for November 3rd, 2021. I am the Solo Monster. We are 10 days out from the Full Gear pay-per-view. I thought tonight's episode of Dynamite was a very productive one. I thought overall it was a pretty fun episode. But very productive as far as setting up some new matches for the pay-per-view, furthering the storylines for others. AEW was dealt a bad hand. They had to go to a plan B for the world title eliminator because Moxley obviously was not on the show tonight. It will be Bryan Danielson one-on-one against Miro, which is one hell of a plan B. Those two are going to go out there in 10 days and beat the piss out of each other. And I think they're going to go out there and have a great match. Do me a favor, get those likes up. Super chats are open. You will see them popping up on your screen. I will be reading your messages. If you have any thoughts on the Moxley situation, if you have any personal stories to share, anything like that, by all means, go ahead and we will share them all here on the stream a little bit later. Also, shout out to Chris from Wappingers Falls, New York, who I know is watching right now. Happy 31st birthday to him. Thank you for the support. And for those of you who do want to become a channel member, and I believe we have at least one new one here. I think it was Mr. AEW Mark, I believe, was one of our new channel members so far here tonight. I do thank everybody who has joined in the last few weeks and become a member of our channel family here on YouTube. There is a bunch of new content that I got up this past week, in case you missed it, for all tiers. There was some new Q&A that went up, Q&A videos answering your questions. And for the Legends tier members, brand new retro episode number 12 from 2008. So again, I want to say thank you to those folks. And please do consider becoming a channel member. We got some special emojis you can use here in the chat. And badges, you'll see all the people in green. And Alpaca, good luck. He is having, or he or she, I shouldn't necessarily assume. But Alpaca is having gallbladder surgery tomorrow. Hopefully it's the non-invasive type. So good luck to Alpaca. I'm sure everything is going to be fine. You're going to be just perfectly okay. And I expect you to be back here with us next week for the Dynamite stream again. But good luck with your surgery tomorrow. You got nothing to worry about. You're going to be fine. We kick things off with the AEW World Champion, Kenny Omega. One-on-one against Allen Angels, number 5 of the Dark Order. Their first match in April of last year is the match that got Allen Angels signed with AEW. He has said that before. So that first match went so well, he got a contract. And he is still with AEW, and here they were back in the ring together again, this time in front of an actual live crowd, because their last match came during the pandemic. Angels exploded right out of the gate, drop kick right at the bell, but Omega fired back with chops, hit the Kataro Crusher, took Angels down for 2. Angels avoided a V-trigger and rolled up Omega for a near fall, took him out with a suicide dive. Out on the floor, Omega regained control of the match, but he got met with an Orihara moonsault at a top rope crossbody for 2. Angels tried for a frog splash, but Omega got the knees up and hit a pop-up powerbomb. Angels fought out of a one-winged angel attempt. He rolled Omega up for a near fall before kicking out of a V-trigger, just as he did in their first match last year. Kicked out of a V-trigger. Two more V-triggers, though, were too much for Allen Angels. And that was the end of number five. Number Johnny Five here. After the match, Omega got on the mic and very mockingly thanked Angels for ruining his career. And for those of you who might have been wondering what was the reference there. Yo, Random. What's going on, Random, in the chat? Well, we got two solid monsters on screen, that OC guy dressing up like me. But if you were wondering what he was referring to there when Omega was talking about, thanks for ruining my career, apparently that was a dig at Ryan Satin, who last year, after Angels kicked out of a V-trigger, not the one-winged angel, he kicked out of a V-trigger. And Omega, he doles out the V-triggers in his matches like fucking candy on Halloween. He hits too many of them. But he can hit multiple V-triggers in a match. So the idea of somebody kicking out of one, to me, is not that big of a deal. But I guess to Ryan, he thought that somehow damaged Omega or ruined him in some way. I wasn't aware of this before tonight. I mean, if that's what he said, that's ridiculous. But I guess that's what that was in reference to. But Omega asked Nakazawa for a chair. And Omega was setting up for a one-winged angel onto the chair when Hangman's music hit. And of course, we see this in wrestling all the time, not just in AEW, where the heel is about to do something really dastardly to the babyface, but then someone's theme music hits, and instead of hitting the fucking move, they drop the person, and they let them go. So he let Mr. Angels go. Hangman came down to the ring and went for the buckshot lariat. Omega dodged it and got the hell out of there. And that was very good. It would have been ridiculous for them to give that away. So the fact that he avoided it and they teased it, they wanted you so badly to see him hit that clothesline, and the fact that he didn't, I love that. They're saving it for the pay-per-view. They're saving it for the finish. That should be the finish of their match. New champion, Hangman Page with the buckshot lariat. But Omega left his title behind. And so Hangman picked up the mic and said, "Hey, Kenny, you forgot something." He says, "I'm going to give it back to you. You better hold on to it. You've got 10 days. I thought the match was good, but my one critique, I don't believe the world champion should have needed 8 minutes to beat Allen Angels of the Dark Order here, 10 days before his big main event against Kenny Omega. That's my only critique. We had a Malakai Black video that aired. He was asking why men of power always think that their decisions serve more than their own interests. He said Cody Rhodes' decision to ban him from ringside during his match tonight against Andrade will not affect the match. He said that when Julius Caesar was assassinated, it wasn't just Marcus who betrayed him. Looking back now on what happened in the Cody Rhodes match, I don't quite understand what he was going for here. It seemed like maybe there was going to be some kind of a turn on Cody, but if so, maybe it's coming later, because we didn't get it tonight. CM Punk was out next in street clothes for a promo, and there was no soaking in the crowd reaction like he does every week. He talks about how much he loves that crowd reaction in every city when he comes out. There was none of that. There was no stage diving into the crowd. He had a very serious look on his face. Fans were chanting his name, and Punk said, "That's not the name I want to hear right now." He said that there were two people who were not here tonight. One of them had a very good reason for not being here. He said one of them was John Moxley, and that is the name that he wanted to hear the fans chant. So the fans started a Mox chant. Mox, Moxley. Punk said he has history with John Moxley, and they're not exactly buddy-buddy. They're not the best of friends. Said he knows what it's like to think that you have to go and go and go, and he, without saying, WWE, he was obviously referring to a time in his life, a time in his career, when he was in WWE, where he was getting completely burned out on the road, not letting injuries heal up, traveling on the road all the time, and obviously it affected his health and it led to him leaving the company. That's what he was referring to here. So he says he knows what that's like, to not have any break and to just go and go and go and have injuries that don't heal, all of these things. He said he didn't want anybody to criticize John Moxley because I am goddamn proud of him. He said, if anybody watching was in a place where they needed help, they should ask for it. He said there's nothing harder to do, and there is nothing more courageous, which is what I was just talking about earlier. Absolutely nothing wrong with asking for help. Don't let anybody tell you any differently. That is not somebody that you need to be taking advice from. Punk said the second person who wasn't there was Eddie Kingston. And he remembered Kingston interrupting him last week when he was having a backstage promo. This is after Kingston lost to Bryan Danielson. He was in a very bad mood that the referee stopped the match. He shouldn't have stopped the match. I didn't tap out. I didn't give up. Punk was in the middle of an interview when all of this shouting and this commotion was going on, and then they came face to face. Punk said he doesn't like being interrupted. Said that he would fight Eddie Kingston, but he wasn't there. Crowd started chanting Full Gear, and Punk said Full Gear was an option, but he also said so is St. Louis, because they're going to be live for Rampage this Friday in St. Louis. Because St. Louis is right up the road. They were in the Kansas City area tonight. And he said he would be there on Friday to accept Eddie Kingston's apology. Punk said he was going to fill Moxley's spot in the tournament. We were going to get CM Punk possibly against Bryan Danielson if he could have gotten past Orange Cassidy. So he would have taken that spot were it not for Eddie Kingston and all this shit that's going on with Eddie, and he wants Eddie instead. So trying to put some heat on Eddie Kingston, telling us the reason we didn't potentially get Punk against Bryan Danielson is because of Eddie Kingston. Boo this man. He should have just wore a sign that said boo this man. I still don't know if people are going to boo Eddie Kingston. He said he'll confront him on Friday. I thought that was a great hook for Rampage. Yeah, they got to come up with some kind of a hook for that show. Friday night, 10 p.m. We already know it's a challenging time slot. The numbers have gone down week after week after week for that show. Even the shows that have Punk on it. Obviously, the Punk debut did very well, that first dance show in Chicago. The numbers for Rampage have steadily declined ever since. TNT is still very happy with the numbers, but you got to come up with some kind of a hook. To me, this is a good hook for the show. The potential of seeing CM Punk face-to-face in the ring live with a live mic with Eddie Kingston is the sort of thing that I want to see. And they're banking on the fact that other people will want to see it as well. I thought it was a really great promo by Punk. The Moxley stuff wasn't even a promo. Promo wasn't even the right word for it. He wasn't there promoting anything. It was from the heart. As a wrestler, as a friend, he was speaking from the heart. You know that Punk is very close to Renee Young. They got very close working together on that WWE backstage show. He's been on her show a couple of times. They're very good friends. What he said in that ring tonight was as real could be. It wasn't a promo. It wasn't a promo. It wasn't a pipe bomb. It was the truth. It was just from the heart. And I thought what he said was very good. And I thought what he said had a lot of merit to it. We got a pre-tape promo from Miro. This was a promo. Now we're back to the wrestling promos. Del Fuego just upgraded to Sound Off Legend. Thank you, Del Fuego. I hope you are having a great night. And thank you for joining me here on a Wednesday. I like this Miro promo. He said that he cursed his god, he warned his god, he threatened his god, which he did after he lost the TNT title. Remember those vignettes where he was basically cursing out God and blaming him? And what are you doing? Are you trying to test me? What are you trying to do to me here? So he said he did all of that. And all of a sudden, he gets this announcement, this word from above, I guess, that he's going to be in the world title tournament. And he was wondering, is God trying to prove himself to me, or do I need to prove myself to him or her, or whatever word he used? But I like this idea that, and I was kind of hoping maybe he would say something along the lines of, you know, I talked to God after I lost the TNT title. It was taken away from me. And he gets like a big smile on his face and he goes, well, when one door closes, another one opens. And my God listened. This was a little bit different, but I still liked it. I thought it was a good promo. Alex Marvez was in the back. He was interviewing Adam Cole, Matt Jackson, and Nick Jackson of the Young Bucks. All of a sudden, in the middle of their interview, as they're talking about being big tough guys, Christian Cage, the former Impact World Champion, shows up. And Matt Jackson points out that Christian was outnumbered. No sooner does he say that than Luchasaurus shows up. So the big dinosaur walks into camera frame, and all of a sudden the Bucks, Matt has a very different tune. He goes, well, you know, we're not looking for a fight. We're gonna be in our office. Fight breaks out. They brawl into the arena, and the elite members gain control of the fight until Jungle Boy, out of nowhere. Now, Jungle Boy, last time we saw him, he was thrown off of the stage, down through two tables. Jungle Boy, out of nowhere, running off the stage with this giant running flip dive off the stage out onto all the heels, wipes them all out. Matt Jackson climbs up onto the stage. Christian spears him. Christian was setting up to hit the kill switch. As he was turning around for it, though, he got super kicked by Nick Jackson. Luchasaurus stopped the Bucks from leaving and chokeslam Nick onto Adam Cole, who was laying on stage. Jungle Boy put Cole in the snare trap. And Christian showed up with two chairs. He placed one under Cole's head and hit a one-man concerto. Now, the crowd chanted one more time, but it was not to be. So they had to do something to set things in motion for a match with these guys at Full Gear. You know, six-man tag, it looks like we're going to get. If anything, I think maybe this went a little long. But I thought it was fine, and the Jungle Boy dive was pretty crazy. I thought that looked good. We had FTR taking on the team of Aerostar and Samurai Del Sol for FTR's AAA tag team titles. I remember Aerostar from the Lucha Underground days. Big Lucha Underground fan. And Aerostar loves jumping off tall things. He didn't get a chance to do that tonight. Thank God. Samurai Del Sol is the former Kalisto who was released by WWE earlier this year. I absolutely love the fact. I don't know if you picked up on it, but if you watch the entrances, I absolutely love the fact that FTR is now walking out to a remix version of the Midnight Express's theme music. I think their theme music is fucking awesome. So I love it because I'm listening to it and I go, yeah, obviously they can't use the exact theme from back then, but this is as close as you could get. It's got that same vibe. It's got that same sound to it. I fucking love it. So Samurai and Aerostar took control right away. They forced FTR to roll to the floor and regroup. Aerostar took out both members with a tornillo and an assisted double drop kick. Samurai Del Sol used a springboard twisting senton, and Aerostar hit something that resembled a step-up senton. FTR caught a double Hurricane Rana attempt, and they dumped Aerostar out to the floor. Samurai hit the sliced bread. Aerostar hit another dive for a near fall. And Harwood countered a Samurai Del Sol dive, hit the brainbuster on the floor, dropped him right on the back of his neck. Aerostar, who was flying around, he was ping-ponging around the ring, and you know, there were a few things that weren't so smooth with Aerostar, but he and Wheeler were exchanging cradles back and forth until finally Wheeler got a cradle and he grabbed the ropes for leverage. The referee didn't see it, and he got the three to steal the win and retain the titles. So I thought there was good action here. It was hard to keep up, you know, when you have Aerostar and Samurai Del Sol together as a team. It's kind of like a Lucha Bros match with Rey Fénix. It could be a little hard to keep track of what's going on here, but I thought the action was good. I just love the idea that FTR now claims to be the greatest luchadors in the world because they're the AAA Tag Team Champions. Of all the people, of all the tag teams that are out there in the world, that it's FTR. That it's FTR going around claiming to be the greatest luchadors in the world. It just, it tickles me. And we're in for another great match between them and the Lucha Bros at Full Gear. The Inner Circle were out to the ring next for the choosing of the American top team members that they would be facing at Full Gear in the Minneapolis street fight. When Sammy Guevara beat Ethan Page in that TNT title match last week, he earned the right to choose which members of American top team he would be facing. So that is what we found out. Dan Lambert and the rest of his American Top Team crew come out to the ring. Crowd was chanting, shut the fuck up. He may be the biggest heat magnet in wrestling today. MJF is pretty close. MJF, you know, as much as I think some people like MJF, he gets booed. People don't like him when he walks out there. But when Dan Lambert comes out, you can't hear what's going on. The people are so loud. I've compared it to Vicky Guerrero when she was at her apex in WWE, and the people just hated her guts. We're going back over a decade now. When Vicky was in her prime in that role in WWE, she was a heat magnet. She was like a heat-seeking missile, no matter what building or city she was in. That's what Dan Lambert is. People don't like this guy. He gets the right kind of heat. Even though sometimes he could be a little over the top and a little too loud for my taste with some of these segments. But, boy, people did not like him. And he introduced Ethan Page, Scorpio Sky, Junior Dos Santos was there, Andre Arlovsky, and some undefeated Bellator fighters. Lambert said it was time for Jericho to pick his poison from this crew. Who do you want to face? And Jericho explained that their open contract gives them the right to choose their opponents, and Jake Hager selected Junior Dos Santos, and he called him Popeye, which is quite the dated joke. Santana picked Arlovsky. Paige VanZant got some promo time here. This is the most promo time that she's gotten since she started making these appearances on AEW television. I've been waiting for her to do more. And she said that her calendar was wide open on November 13th. I thought that was going somewhere else with the Jericho retort, but they didn't make that joke. But she said she was wide open on November 13th, and she said the Inner Circle didn't have the balls to take her on. I guess she wanted them to choose her. She said they didn't have the ball. She said she could take all five of them by herself. And Jericho spoke up and said, you want to take all five of us by yourself? The jokes write themselves. He didn't have to say a word. She kind of set herself up for it. Jericho says she could put it on her OnlyFans page. Well, look, I mean, she set herself up for it. I thought that was a great line. But see, she is such a natural. I would love to see her go full-time into this. I would love to see her really embrace pro wrestling in a way that like Ronda Rousey did and train for it. Because she's got the promo part from what little we've heard from her. She's got a knack for it. You know, she's a beautiful woman. She's an athlete. I think she could get in there, and I think she could be a natural at this. I'd like to see her embrace pro wrestling and do more of it and really take it seriously. But Jericho said they knew they had to choose one more person, and so Jericho chose Dan Lambert. Of course, much to his chagrin. That's exactly what I said last week. Didn't I make the comment on the stream last week? I said that's exactly what the Inner Circle is going to do. They're going to pick him. And he's going to lose his mind. So Jericho had the fans chant, fat face dipshit. And then they said that they would kick Lambert's ass at the pay-per-view. I thought it was a fun segment. Some people might not like it. I thought it was a fun segment. It got the right reaction. Got a ton of heat. And Paige VanZant is a natural. And she will be there. Her calendar is wide open. Wide open. She's going to be there full year. Wide open. Dante Martin and Leo Rush were being interviewed in the back. They were interrupted by Matt Sydal, who was with Lee Moriarty. And Sydal congratulated Dante Martin. He had a big win last week on TV. Says he has a lot of potential. He goes, but there are other people who have potential as well. Because Martin was over there with Leo Rush. Leo Rush has taken him under his wing. Matt Sydal said that he has taken Lee Moriarty under his wing. And Sydal challenged them to a tag team match, and Leo Rush accepted. They didn't announce when that would be, so I don't know if it'll be on Dynamite next week or if it will be on that final episode of Rampage before the pay-per-view, or maybe it'll be added to the full gear card. I don't think they officially announced exactly where that match would be taking place. Unless I missed it. First round match in the TBS Championship Tournament, we had Jamie Hayter one-on-one against Hikaru Shida. I guess well enough after her devastating knee injury at the hands of Serena Deeb last week. Neither woman established an advantage till... what am I saying? Hikaru? I said Hikaru Shida. I'm getting Shida mixed up with the segment with Nyla Rose. Anna Jay. What the hell am I thinking of here? I'm just making up my own matches now. I'm getting to the Be the Booker segment a little too soon. Anna Jay. Anna Jay and Jamie Hayter. Anna Jay and Hikaru Shida look nothing alike, for the record. But anyway, Anna reversed a whip into the barricade early on. Hayter booted Jay once Anna got back into the ring. That was right before the break. Once they got back from break, Anna made a comeback with clotheslines, hit a DDT for two. She went for the she went for the Queen Slayer sleeper, but Jamie Hayter flipped out of it before Anna applied it for a second time. Rebel distracted the official, which allowed Britt Baker, who was out there in Jamie's corner, to interfere in the match. And when Anna Jay turned around, she got clobbered by a lariat, and Jamie Hayter picked up the win. Honestly, it went about 5 minutes. There was a commercial break in between. Not much of a match. Jamie Hayter picks up the win. She moves on. The heels beat down Anna when the match was over. Ty Conti, who is challenging Britt Baker for the championship at the pay-per-view, best friends with Anna Jay, she races down to make the save. Eventually, she gets overwhelmed by the numbers, and that brings out Thunder Rosa, who comes out to even out the odds. Thunder Rosa, who just got over a concussion, which is why we haven't seen too much of her on TV. Apparently now she's been cleared and all is good. What is going on, Stephen Chapa, with the $50 Super Chat drop? That's the biggest Super Chat drop for the month of November so far. We're only 3 days into the month. Stephen, thank you for the support. So Jamie Hayter will now face Thunder Rosa in the quarterfinals of the tournament. Again, not much of a match here, honestly. But we have some you know, big names left in this tournament. Obviously, Jade Cargill, still undefeated. She's in the tournament. Thunder Rosa, Ruby Soho, Hikaru Shida. So we still got some big names in that division left in this tournament. Up next, we had MJF. Speaking of heat, one of the bigger heat seekers in the company, MJF, comes out to address Darby Allin. Darby was shown actually earlier in the show. He was sitting in the crowd. He was observing all by himself. So Darby is sitting in the crowd, and MJF is addressing him, and he's saying, you know, you and I, Darby, we're both pillars of this company. Without us, this company doesn't work, because the fans know that we're going to go on to become legends in this business. So why is it that they boo me and they cheer you? Said they hate me because it reminds them of someone successful in their lives. He goes, he's a symbol of everything they wish they could be, but Darby is one of them. He's one of us. He's an outcast who will never fit in. He goes, even though Darby is cool and brooding between the ropes, he turns into a glorified stuntman. And MJF said that Darby will lose at Full Gear because he is better than him and he knows it. MJF is a better wrestler than him. MJF said he could even beat Darby with a headlock takeover. Wink, wink. I don't think he said that by accident. I think that's a clue as to the kind of finish they might be planning for the pay-per-view. We could potentially have a headlock takeover finish to a pay-per-view match, which would be something I don't think I've ever seen before. I don't know how they're going to work that. But I don't know. Sometimes these things get mentioned. They're not mentioned by accident. So Darby said that at Full Gear, they would have a wrestling match, but he would let his anger and his aggression out right now. And MJF wanted no part of that. He started to walk up the ramp to go leave, when all of a sudden he gets met by Sting. But not just Sting. He gets met by Sting and a picture of Sting. No, I'm kidding. Actually, it was a picture of Sting on people's faces. A whole army of Stings behind him. Just nameless, faceless people, I guess, meant to look like Sting. They come out. Wardlow and Sean Spears come out as well. They brawl with all the Sting soldiers as MJF slowly backs up down to the ringside area, not realizing as he's backing up to go back down to the ring that Darby is right there in the crowd. And so while all of this chaos and carnage is going on stage with all the Stings, They lock eyes. MJF hops the barricade. The two of them end up in a fight in the stands. Darby sends MJF into the barricade. And then they did this great spot. I actually love this. I love this spot where MJF is up against the barricade in by the front row. And the camera is on Darby as Darby is walking back deeper into the crowd. He's got this crazed look on. He's got the crazy eyes. He's got this crazy expression on his face. And the camera is following him. Darby is, he's building up. He's building up some distance between him and MJF. And then he turns around and he does this great sprint down to the ringside area. This great running clothesline takes MJF over the barricade. It looked fantastic. I love that spot. I just thought visually it looked great. So then he rolls MJF into the ring. He goes up for the coffin drop, but MJF escapes. I thought the Darby and MJF stuff was really good. I thought the other stuff wasn't necessary. They probably were just looking for a way to get Sting on the show, and they couldn't figure out any other good way to do it. I could come up with a few ways other than having a fucking army of fucking Stings. I thought that this was quite dumb, actually. But the Darby and MJF portion of it, I thought was very good to put more heat on their match for the pay-per-view. We have Cody Rhodes one-on-one against Andrade El Idolo. So the picture was MJF. I thought it was an army of Stings. When I glanced at it, at first it looked like people wearing Sting masks, but now was it MJF masks? We'll call it an army of MJFs. The point is, it was fucking dumb. I don't care what the picture was. It doesn't matter. I thought the whole group of those people coming out and everything, I thought was very stupid. But the Darby portion with MJF was very good stuff. Cody Rhodes against Andrade El Idolo, Malakai Black banned from ringside. On Wrestling Observer Live earlier today, Tony Khan was a special guest on the show. And without actually saying her name, he implied that this new alliance of sorts that we've seen over the last few weeks with Malakai and Andrade comes from both of them being close with Zelina Vega. Remember, Zelina used to manage Andrade. Zelina obviously is married to Malakai. I like that, actually. I don't know if they've ever really addressed that on TV. But I guess he was sort of explaining for the people who were wondering, well, why would Malakai be out there and providing any kind of assist, you know, the last few weeks to Andrade? You know, I hadn't really thought of that connection, but that would be the connection between the two of them. Zelina would be the link. Again, he never mentioned her by name, but that's what he was inferring. So Cody countered an Andrade dive early in the match with a drop kick. Drop kicked him right out of midair. Andrade, though, reversed a disaster kick by pushing Cody, shoved him off the top rope down to the floor. So they go to commercial. They come back from commercial, and Cody hit a power slam. He was met by boos. Now, his reaction coming out to the ring, remember that promo he cut last week, and I said this is only going to dig the hole deeper for Cody. If he's trying to, you know, convince the people to start cheering for him, it's not going to work. When he came out for the match, I thought the reaction was sort of, it was more even-keeled. It was more of a balanced reaction from the crowd. It wasn't, you know, boos or total boos. Once the match started, though, and it got deeper and deeper into the match, the boo birds came out. The boo birds came out here. Andrade fought out of a double underhook, landed a back elbow. Cody reversed the corner drop kick with a lariat, and Andrade countered Crossroads, hit two out of the three amigos, and then hit a third one in the corner. Cody avoided a split-legged moonsault after that. He was laying in some shots before hitting the bionic elbow, baby. We got some callbacks in this match to not just the Dusty Rhodes, but Ric Flair as well. Got some woos in there when Andrade, you know, the figure four spot in this match. Cody went for the figure four. Andrade locked it on himself, though. Cody eventually reversed the pressure, and he wanted to go for a dive, but Andrade's manager, Jose, got up on the apron, which brought Arn Anderson around the ring over to where Jose was standing up on the apron. Over comes Arn Anderson to clock him, or should I say glock him, with a right hand. Down goes Jose. No way, Jose. said Arn Anderson. Cody went for a tope suicida, but as he soared through the ropes, FTR had rolled out from underneath the ring. Referee didn't see any of this. And as he soared through the ropes, FTR clobbered him with their title belts, knocked him out. All Andrade had to do at that point was just cover the man for the three count. He hit the hammerlock DDT, didn't even hook the leg, and got the pinfall, picks up the win. Excalibur mentioned the financial arrangement with Andrade and the Pinnacle, which we've seen that play out on TV a few weeks ago. So that's the reason why we had FTR involvement here in this match. I thought it was a good match up until the finish. Finish was, kind of cheap finish you would expect. After the match, FTR and Tully Blanchard, they held up Cody. They were all beating him down. Arn Anderson gets in the ring and he spins around Tully Blanchard. So now we have the Brainbusters. We have two of the former horsemen face-to-face. Two 60-year-olds face-to-face in the ring fighting over the early bird special. Calm down, Grandpa. Don't overexert yourself. The people were into this, though. They were into the Arn and Tully face-off here. All of a sudden, the Lucha Bros ran down. They fought off FTR. So we know it's going to be FTR and the Lucha Bros in full gear. We know that. What we don't know yet is exactly what Cody is going to be doing. Or what Malakai or Andrade, for that matter. We didn't see Pac on the show tonight. So I'm thinking either a tag team match. We get Andrade and Malakai as a team against Cody and Pac. Or maybe we get some kind of a four-way match. I don't know that they've ever done a singles fatal four-way match. We've had some triple threats in AEW. They don't do too many of those. We see plenty of multi-man matches as far as six-mans, 10-mans, 12-mans, but triple threats, fatal four-ways, we don't get too many of those. We've had a few, but, we had that ladder match a few weeks ago. That Hangman won when he earned the right to challenge for the title. But I go back to that segment earlier in the show with Malakai Black, where he mentioned something about Caesar and betrayal, which makes me wonder, maybe we do get a tag team match at the pay-per-view. Maybe it is Cody and Pac. Maybe Pac is going to go heel. It's just something I was thinking about. I'm thinking back to that promo and what Malakai meant by that. I don't know that that's really fully played itself out yet. It might not happen until full gear. Tony Schiavone, they were running low on time here. I'm looking at the clock going, boy, they have a tournament match left, and they had about 11 minutes left in the show. Tony Schiavone is in the ring to interview John Silver, Long John Silver. And he is, of course, going to be wrestling Adam Cole coming up on Rampage this week. Silver said that it's going to be him against Budge. And he said that Cole would be getting the Meat Man and added that he would kick some Budge ass. Now, I have not been watching much Being the Elite of late, or if there are any vlogs online with some of the Dark Order stuff, I admit I have not been watching any of that. So I had no fucking idea what he was talking about here. I've heard him refer to the Meat Man before, but this Budge shit is new to me. And if I don't know what it means, then there's other people watching the show that have no fucking clue what it means either. So you might want to just consider that going forward in the future when it comes to references like this. I'm watching this going, okay, he's calling him Budge, and I feel like it's probably from Being the Elite, but I have no fucking idea what he's talking about. Budge? Meat Man? What's going on here? What is this? This did not need to be on this show. I don't know why this had to be in the ring. Why did Tony Schiavone have to be in the ring with John Silver talking about this match on Friday? This could have been contained to a simple backstage segment, especially since it looked like they were running low on time. This did not need to happen here. Yes, Antox, I know. I have figured out that Budge is Adam Cole. Now I understand that. Why Budge? I have no fucking idea. That's what I'm saying. Perhaps they should have explained that on commentary. Orange Cassidy, one-on-one against Miro, replacing Jon Moxley in the semifinals of the AEW World Title Eliminator. They only had 10 minutes left in the show. And I was their Excalibur or Tony Schiavone on commentary said, we're going to stick with this no matter how long it takes, because they had the NHL coming up. Hockey was coming up at the top of the hour. They said, even if we have to bleed into the hockey game. And I thought, bullshit. That's bullshit. You're not bleeding over 10 p.m. And they didn't. The show ended on time. But as soon as they said it, I knew they were full of crap. So Brian Danielson came out to sit in on commentary. Miro had a wrap on his thigh. Cassidy had his ribs still taped up from a storyline injury. But they look like the walking wounded out there. Orange Cassidy hits a tope, but Miro catches him and just flung this man. Belly-to-belly overhead suplex, flung him. Lands hard on the floor. They cut to the final picture-in-picture break. So as soon as the match started, they cut to a break. We only had 8 minutes left in the show. So he was working over Cassidy's ribs the entire break. Cassidy eventually makes a comeback. He drop kicks Miro into the corner and then hits a tilt-a-whirl DDT, which is Miro's Achilles heel. Remember the DDT. You drop this guy on his head, you might have a shot at beating him, but he kicked out at two. Miro powdered out to the floor, and Cassidy climbed up to the top rope, and he dove off. Just this giant body splash off the top rope. He collided with Miro on the way down, and their momentum took them both down through a table that was outside the ring. So they crash through this table, and Orange Cassidy gets back into the ring. Bryce Remsburg is counting, and he's up to eight, and Miro is still down. He's up to nine. Miro is still down. He had to hold up his count. I don't know if Miro just forgot where he was. I don't know if he was milking it for a little too long, or if he really had his bell rung or what. But, boy, that was a long nine count before he finally rolled into that ring. He held that count a little too long. Orange punch attempt, but Miro caught him. Cassidy escaped. He hit the beach break and got a super close near fall. Miro hit a body block and a savate kick to the head. He locks on game over and wrenches back for the immediate tap out. Brian Danielson comes down to the ring to go face-to-face with Miro as they go off the air. So it will be Miro one-on-one in the finals of the world title eliminator taking on Brian Danielson. It will not be their first meeting. If you're wondering, have these two ever had a match before? I was wondering the same thing. It is not their first meeting. In fact, the two of them met in a different tournament. They met in the King of the Ring tournament. Well, technically it was a qualifying match, but they met in a King of the Ring qualifier 3 years ago on SmackDown, and Rusev beat Daniel Bryan clean in the middle of the ring on SmackDown. So this will not be their first rodeo together. As I said at the beginning of the stream, and I know not everybody, yes, we had some people tuning in late. AEW was dealt a bad hand in the last 24 hours. I mean, Tony Khan, I think, found out about the Moxley stuff a few days ago. He didn't make the announcement, though, until last night. So they were dealt a bad hand. They had to go to a plan B on very short notice. And Brian against Miro is one heck of a plan B. Those two are going to go in there. They're going to beat the hell out of each other. I think it's going to be a very good match. I'm looking forward to it. Brian, so far, is bulletproof in AEW. He is bulletproof. Every single match he has had has been very good to great. He wins all of his matches in unique ways. This could be his first loss, though. Because if we would have gotten, and we would have had Moxley and Brian at full gear. It's not a lock that Danielson, just because he's undefeated, it's not a lock that Danielson was going to win that match. If Hangman Page is going to win the championship at the pay-per-view in 10 days, it could have been a situation where Moxley was going to go heel, and Moxley was going to be the first heel challenger for Hangman coming out of full gear. We don't know. We may never know what the plan would have been. If the idea is that they want a heel to wrestle Hangman if Hangman is going to win the championship, and he needs a strong heel to work with and to beat in his first program, Miro would fit the bill. You know, Hangman against Brian Danielson, that works okay too. And Hangman beating Danielson would be a nice feather in his cap, but you're almost splitting the audience, right? If you do babyface against babyface like that. So because of that, I think a lot of this really does hinge upon what happens in that main event. Miro could go over. We could have Miro handing Danielson his first loss at full gear. So I don't think the outcome by any means is predictable or assured in this match. And I kind of like that also, that it's not necessarily easy to predict who's going to come out with the victory in that match. Now, Rampage is going to be live from St. Louis on Friday night. Why is it live? Because originally Full Gear was going to be this Saturday. Until they realize, well, we're up against, I think there's a Canelo Alvarez fight. I think there's a UFC pay-per-view this weekend from Madison Square Garden. We don't want none of that. So they moved the pay-per-view back a week. Pay-per-view was supposed to be in St. Louis. St. Louis ain't getting Full Gear, but they're getting Rampage. That's still going to be live. So we're going to get a rare live Rampage on Friday. John Silver, one-on-one against Adam Cole, or I'm sorry, Budge. Red Velvet against the Bunny, TBS title tournament, the winner to meet Jade Cargill in the next round. I assume that's going to be Red Velvet. And Eddie Kingston is going to be there live to confront CM Punk face-to-face to set up their match, I am sure, their singles match at Full Gear. So Punk and Eddie Kingston are going to have a live mic on Rampage this Friday. I will not be watching for Red Velvet against the Bunny. But I will be, and I'm not watching for Budge against John Silver, although I think that'll be a good match. I'm watching to get a live mic between CM Punk and Eddie Kingston. That's what I'm watching for Rampage on Friday. That is what I am looking forward to. Epsilon Sama, the pay-per-view is in Minneapolis. Minnesota is getting the pay-per-view. Not St. Louis. If you would like to vote on Twitter, the place to go is at Solomonster. And we've got almost 900 votes in so far, 87% thumbs up, but 12% thumbs down. So please do let me know what you guys think of tonight's show at Solomonster. Follow me on there. Follow me also during the pay-per-views, because I will be live tweeting, as I always do during those events. You should already be following me on there. And again, thank you to the folks who so far have signed up as new channel members here tonight. Again, you've got Q&A's up. If you're on the Legends tier, go back and listen to episode 12 of the podcast. I recorded that the day of the 2008 Royal Rumble. Talked about Bobby Lashley leaving the company and Mike Adamly coming in and a bunch of other stuff. So a lot of good content up there. More coming. I am in the middle of choosing the posts for the next installment of RSPW Rewind. You'll be happy to know. I know we have a lot of RSPW Rewind fans out there. I'm not out of posts yet. You're going to get another installment, and all of our channel members will get it first. When it does go up, you guys will get it first. You'll probably get it first for the first 3 days. Everybody else will have to wait. My gift to you. But let us... I should probably open this first, right? Before I... Should probably open your super chats here before I switch to the window. Here we go. Let's take a look at what you guys are talking about here on this Wednesday night. And if you have messages about tonight's show, if you have messages about Jon Moxley, Full Gear, questions for me, anything else, I'd love to hear them. So send them on in, and we'll have ourselves a little super chat party and hang out here for a little bit. Yeah, just turn on some music here. There we go. There we go. I still have, nobody has explained to me exactly what this Budge thing is about. How did he get the name Budge? How does one come up with the name Budge for someone? Brian the Green Boy, dropping about $35 worth. Wow, look at this, $35 worth of Super Chats here. At least. What's up, Solomon, sir? Hope all is well with you. Buy or sell, who is hotter to you? He wants to know who I think is more attractive. Gigi Dolin or Cora Jade? He says, both are drop-dead gorgeous. Well, Brian is a horny little bastard tonight. Brian needs to get some fresh air. I agree, they are both very attractive. I don't want to... Cora Jade is somebody who I think is going to be a big star on the NXT roster eventually. She's got that girl next door vibe to her. I think very relatable. I think she'll get over very nicely. Gigi Dolan, maybe it's the red hair. I've actually dated a bunch of redheads before. Not for any reason other than it just sort of worked out that way. Maybe I just have a thing for redheads. I don't know. She is a very attractive woman. And Brian also says, do you agree that Liv Morgan should get a chance to be the women's champion someday? On either Raw or SmackDown. Of course, I don't expect it to happen in the immediate future. But within the next 2 to 3 years, at least. 2 to 3 years is a very long time. Do I see her being a women's champion? I do. And I think she's another one who has a lot of fan support. And WWE just hasn't really tapped into that yet. I don't quite understand what the reluctance is there. And Liv has improved a lot, too, in the ring. Food Hive. Can't make both streams this week due to work. I went through the chat as this is my therapy every Wednesday. I look forward to the streams every week. You guys really get me through a lot. Well, we love Food Hive. Ojolly Burgos with the $10 super chat. Thank you, Ojolly. Won't stay just supporting you, but will say it is sad to think of Kyle O'Reilly leaving WWE. He is the only one I liked from the group, and now I won't be able to watch him anymore if he joins that other company. That's right, Ojolly is not an AEW fan. I'm going to talk more about that on the podcast. That is the latest report that Kyle O'Reilly's contract with WWE is coming up in the month of December. He and Johnny Gargano, both two major babyface stars in the NXT brand, are coming up in potentially as free agents in the month of December. Gun to my head, I think Gargano stays and I think O'Reilly leaves. But that's just my gut instinct. I'm pulling for a Red Dragon reunion. That's what I'm pulling for. Bobby Fish, he's already using the music, man. We just have to complete the team. That's all we need to do. Otherwise, this guy's going to be working with Von Wagner for the next 16 months. We don't need to see that. Amari Johnson, after the tragedy caused by an NFL player's DWI. I believe it was a DUI, but says, I'm glad Mox is getting help. Wonder if Tony, being an NFL owner, insisted after seeing what happened. I would not make any assumptions about this. I actually used that example earlier at the beginning of the stream. That was a major news story this week. And again, it just goes to show you. 22-year-old NFL player, also probably on top of the world, making millions of dollars and driving at 156 miles an hour and killing a person. I thought I read that he killed a dog, too. Is that true? That's just as bad as anything. Frankly, it's awful. But it affects everybody. Nobody is immune. Groovy Goose, with how much of an issue addiction can be in the professional wrestling and in life, I hope Moxley can inspire others to seek help for themselves. Yeah, I do hope that him going public with this could show people that, again, there's nothing to be ashamed of. I used that example earlier, the person I used to work with. Shame was the common word or the common theme that they kept coming back around to, this feeling of shame. Other people look at it and go, what do you have to be ashamed of? Goes, there's nothing wrong with asking for help. But when you're in that situation, you can understand why people might have these feelings of, I don't want people to know that I'm dealing with this. I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed of my own behavior. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Joshua Carlos, Mr. Ocean Man, Miro against Brian is going to be a physical, brutal battle. Well, that is what I am most looking forward to about it. Tuxedo T Servo with the $5 super chat. Sad to hear about Mox, but glad he is getting help. I am drawing a blank. Can you think of another major angle derailed by a person entering rehab? I mean, there have been examples of suspensions, for various things that have derailed storylines. Person entering rehab, I'm sure the answer is yes. I can't think of any off the top of my head, like top of mind. I'm sure it's happened, though. Think of how many wrestlers over the years have gone into rehab, whether it's on their own or they were forced into it. I'm sure many of them were involved in, key storylines at that point in time, and it forced them to change plans and change creative. Quintus Brown. Good show tonight. I wouldn't be shocked if Miro beats Brian to Full Gear. Hangman needs to face a heel on his first title feud. Well, that's just what I was talking about. You and I, brother, on the same wavelength. Great minds think alike. Nick Grosso with the $9.99. First, I just want to say all the love to Moxley. Right now, get better and come back stronger than ever. Cody putting over Andrade was the right call, but the pandering is so ridiculous. Just turn heel. Yeah, you would hope that that's where this is leading. He's, I think, fighting a losing battle here. I would think that Cody, of all people, and Cody is, he's a second-generation guy. Obviously, he's, his family has roots in the wrestling business going back a long time, and he's not a dumb person. He's got to see what's going on here. At some point, you just have to embrace it and make the most of it. Run with it. Don't fight it. Don't be like Vince McMahon all those years with Roman Reigns. All those lost years we could have had. We could have had the Tribal Chief 5 years ago. Sometimes you just got to stop fighting and just go. Just go with it. Emmanuel with the $9.99 to the best post show in the game. Well, thank you. Thank you, Emmanuel. Nick Grosso again. Just some Full Gear predictions. Adam Cole versus Christian Cage. The Young Bucks against Jurassic Express. And Bray Wyatt debuts. So you don't think it'll be a six-man tag? You think it'll be two separate matches? That's possible. Adam Cole against Christian Cage would be a hell of a match, too. Rodimus Prime with the $20. Thank you, Rodimus. Salute. First off, best of luck to Mox in his recovery. Second, we know how much you love the New York Mets. But do you like basketball, and are you a fan of the Knicks? I don't really care for it. My brother is a gigantic Knicks fan. I always root for New York, but I am not a big NBA guy. Anti-M Bishop 07. With a $10 super chat. Greetings, Solomonster. Hurts that my Astros lost last night, but Dynamite in the after show stream makes it all right. Prayers for John Moxley and his family. Punk is a real one for his speech tonight. I thought Punk did a hell of a job out there. Again, it wasn't a promo. He was just a guy out there speaking from the heart. He wears his heart on his sleeve. I thought his words were exactly what they needed to be in that situation. Drew Johnson, as Jeffrey Hall's Russo on a pole blocks out our super chat here. A little baby Russo there. I got to say, I saw on Twitter earlier, Russo was trying to hawk subscriptions, I think, to his website. And doing so in a very desperate way. Because I think he tweeted this, I think, multiple times. But I saw he had gotten a tweet, and some people were replying to it and commenting on it, saying that he was going to rant on Tony Khan. He was going to, rip Tony Khan to shreds or whatever for going public with the John Moxley news in the way that he did. It was such a private matter in the way... again, John Moxley went to Tony Khan and said, "I want you to share this information for me. I'm going to rehab, and Moxley isn't really much of a social media guy to begin with. I want you to go ahead and disseminate this information and let people know what's going on, because they're going to be asking questions anyway when I don't show up for this big match on TV tomorrow night. I give you permission to publicly go and disclose what is going on here." You would read that tweet from Russo and think that Tony Khan went out of his way. He went behind this guy's back to share personal medical information or something. Is he that desperate that he's just creating and manufacturing these just dumb rants over nothing? It's just pathetic. It's fucking pathetic. It's desperate. this is a company and an owner who, when, you know, Brody Lee's wife went to Tony Khan and went to the roster and said, look, my husband is on life support. My husband is fighting for his life in the hospital. I don't want any of this to be shared. It didn't get out. People for 2 months had no idea what was going on with Brody Lee because Tony Khan and the rest of the roster kept their mouth shut because that's what the wife wanted. That's what the family wanted. So believe me, this is not someone who's going to go and disclose something like this unless Jon Moxley wanted him to. And again, maybe in his mind felt that maybe it could be helpful to people if they know what's going on with me. Just reeked of desperation, those tweets earlier. Drew Johnson, think of the buy rate if they would have done Punk against Bryan. Instead, we get Punk against Kingston and Miro against Bryan. No doubt in those outcomes. Miro and Bryan is not a sure bet. I think Miro has a very good shot at winning, but no, I wouldn't say Miro against Bryan is a slam dunk, you know, sort of guarantee about who's going to win. Punk and Eddie Kingston, yes, we know who's going to win and who's going to lose in that match. But I am still very much looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the promo work on Rampage this Friday. Ryan Spies, well, Bryan's Wrestler of the Year is going to end at Full Gear when Miro effing kills him, he says. Chris Quillman, sorry it's been a while. When it's Adam Cole's time, does he get the TNT title first? Or would you just streamline him to the AEW Championship? You know, a guy like Cole, I kind of feel like I would focus more on the AEW Championship with him. But there's a lot of people who are kind of in line for that. You know, you can see the line of succession from Hangman to MJF, maybe Darby in there, someone like Punk or Bryan. You know, where Cole fits in there, it's a little more difficult, I think, to figure that out. Let's see here. We got after Chris, Joseph Brooks with the $4.99. Buy, rent, or sell on who was the most selfless main event star in wrestling history? The Rock, Chris Jericho, or Ric Flair? Well, I mean, they were all selfless, I think, in their own way, more than selfish as compared to other main eventers. Rock was very giving. You know, when he was on top, I always felt Rock was very giving in there. You know, Flair obviously made a lot of guys look good over the years and did jobs for plenty of people. He did plenty of jobs for Hogan, we know that. Jericho also has a track record for that. So I don't know if I would necessarily rank one over the other, per se. I always thought Rock was very giving, maybe more than he should have been, to be honest with you. And Joseph also says, do you think the fans are turning on Cody because he is becoming too Hollywood? Is it similar to what happened to The Rock in late 2002 going into 2003? Yeah, I mean, that might be part of it, and just the fact that he's in, he's out, he's, you know, then he leaves again and he's back, and, you know, also just the whole presentation when he comes out, and, you know, people think the guy has a big head. I think some of it comes from that, the reality show. Drew Johnson, Brian Cage gets no TV time, but yet we have to watch Dork Order members week after week fighting matches they cannot win. That is lame. Well, we know how Cage and his wife feel about the lack of TV time. It is a little puzzling to me that he doesn't get on TV more often. Dry chicken without flavor. Great Dynamite show tonight. I want to wish Jon Moxley to get better. This whole thing is bigger than wrestling. Stephen Chappa, again, thank you for that 50 bomb earlier. You are the man. Hulkling 93 in 08. The Vicky heat got so hot that I remember someone saying there were small but noticeable chance of the wrong Guerrero die. Jesus Christ. Well, again, that's wrestling fans for you, right? There's this subset of wrestling fans who were raised by wolves. They were found under a rock somewhere. Never really learned to mingle with the rest of civilization. I see it all the time on social media. Naif Al-Safar, thank you for the $9.99. Our good old friend Naif joining us tonight. Dry Chicken, Malachi Black, Andrade, Ashley Flair, Thea Trinidad, Roosh, Dragon Lee, Ric Flair, and The Pinnacle would be a deadly alliance. That would be the biggest faction since the NWO. That's too big. That's too big. Why don't you add some more names in there while you're at it? I don't think you have enough names in there. We don't need Ric Flair on TV. Magician Sapphire, what is your opinion on the whole Eric Bischoff recent criticism of AEW? It looks like bait to me to drum up views for his podcast. That's exactly what it is. You hit the nail right on the head. There it is. That's my Jeff Hardy dance there for the $25 super chat. But that's my reaction to your super chat. You're bang on. Bischoff needs content for his show. You know, Bischoff will make some valid points sometimes. I heard his whole rant recently, and he's not entirely wrong, but it just comes across to me as somebody who's trying to create some kind of debate to make headlines, because he needs content for his show. Kind of like the Russo thing. That's exactly what the Russo thing is. And other people as well, other people who have podcasts. Just, they always try to drum up things for attention, and you don't take the bait. You just sort of ignore it and move on. Drew Johnson, Solomonster, my man. I love redheads too. Well, good. We have something in common. Plus Ultra Adrian with the $5. First off, best wishes to John Moxley. I hope he gets the help he needs. Second, I love that TNT is airing Dynamite at 5 o'clock on the West Coast now. Yeah, I think that's going to be a very positive development for a lot of people who live out west. And that's a new theme. That's something that TNT decided just recently, is in the last couple of weeks. So they weren't getting it live before, and now they will. Bulu Fatulu, Solomonster, buy or sell, Turtles in Time or Super Mario World, better video game. I love them both. I love them both equally. I don't think I can choose. Although I probably spent more hours playing Super Mario World. Yukio Rules, random question, but why do they call Bobby Roode Big Bob when they have Bobby Lashley, who is bigger than him? Because this is something they started on TV a few weeks ago. It doesn't make sense. It's on Monday Night Raw, so it doesn't make any sense. You just have to assume if it started on Monday Night Raw, it doesn't make sense. That in and of itself makes sense. It makes sense that something on Raw would not make sense. See what I did there? Jeffrey Hall with the $10. When you do commentary, how can we hear or watch you? Well, it's funny you ask, because I will be on commentary, not this Friday, but next Friday, November 12th. House of Glory, 8 p.m. start time, and the way to listen is on Fight TV. I think the show's $20 on there. You can go to Fight TV and order it right now. House of Glory, Born Again. I will be on commentary that night. Me and JD calling the show. So there you go. Fight TV is the place to go. Bulu Fatulu again, buy or sell, Jake the Snake's DDT or Arn Anderson's Spinebuster? I cannot vote against Jake's DDT. Jake's DDT was a thing of beauty. So was the Spinebuster. But Jake would finish off his opponents with that DDT. When he would hit that DDT, man, and he would drop them, you knew that person wasn't getting up. That's back when the DDT meant something, when the DDT was a devastating maneuver. Dry Chicken Without Flavor with the $11 super chat. I find it funny, during the Double or Nothing 2021 review back in May, I sent a super chat question. Do you see Ty Conti going after the AEW women's title at Full Gear? And now it is happening. Well, aren't you Merlin the Wizard? You didn't tell me what my answer was. Let's see. Bulu again. If you could erase your memory to rewatch one television show, which one would it be? I think it would probably be the one that I'm rewatching right now. I'm rewatching The Shield. I'm in the middle of season 4. And I actually, there are things I don't remember. So as we go along, it's like jogging my memory. But I wish I could go into it fresh. Actually, you know what? I actually might go with Breaking Bad. I think I might go with Breaking Bad. If I could erase my memory, I would love to rewatch Breaking Bad from the beginning without having any frame of reference to it whatsoever. As crazy as it got in that last, like, season or two, I think I would probably go with Breaking Bad. Juan Ocampo, another great episode with the Hardley Boys. Olivier Pockets, get to finish my birthday night with all of us. That's right, it is Juan's birthday, so everybody wish Juan a very happy birthday. Anthony Perks with the $4.99 Super Chat. I'm going to Dynamite in Indianapolis next Wednesday. Tonight felt like a go-home show. What could they do after Friday before Full Gear? I don't know that all of the matches are fully set up yet, so I think we're going to get a lot of promos. I think we're going to get more of a promo-heavy show to really sell people on those matches. Quintus Brown, would you book Punk against Kingston for Full Gear or let the feud build bigger and have the match later on a Dynamite show? I would do it at Full Gear. Who's to say you can't do a rematch? Do it at Full Gear, run it back again a few weeks later on Dynamite. You can do more than one match. Punk needs an opponent for Full Gear. Kingston, you know, you don't have a lot of time left. Kingston's as good as anybody. Stephen Chappa, here's some more, he says. $25 Super Chat. Ah, Stephen, you're too much. Thank you, brother. Bulu Fatulu, buy or sell Tom Cruise or Mel Gibson? Better actor. Not two of my favorite current actors. We're very far removed from the days of Risky Business and Lethal Weapon, but I guess if I had to choose between the two of them, I probably would go with Mel Gibson. Jose Leanos, alcoholism kicks your ass. All the best to Mox. Feels good to tune into the stream again before work. Have a great night solo. You too, Jose. Del Fuego, top three AEW themes. After tonight, FTR's has to be on the list. I'm telling you, I'm loving that Midnight Express remix. So I would say FTR. I'm digging FTR. I don't want to count Punk because I don't look at Punk's theme as an AEW theme. I really like John Moxley's original AEW theme, the Unscripted Violence one, the instrumental. That would be on my list. I like Darby's theme, Darby Allin. I might go Moxley's original theme, Darby Allin, and FTR's current theme. Those probably are my top three. Hangman's is good. I like Hangman's as well. That gets an honorable mention. Bulu wants to know if I am more a fan of Duran Duran or Foreigner for better 80s songs. Duran Duran. A View to a Kill. I first heard it from the James Bond movie. I might be the only one who actually likes that James Bond movie. The Roger Moore movie, A View to a Kill. I think that was the last one he ever did. Bulu also says, do you remember the video game Booger Man? It came out in 1994 for the SNES and Sega. Yes. I didn't play it, but I remember the commercials for it. The disgusting advertisements in the magazines for it. I do remember that. And we got some more Super Chats coming on in from Drew Johnson with the $5. Why is Lil Brutus cutting a promo on Dynamite against Cole? Did they think this was AEW Dark? Yeah, they should have done that in the back or just left it off the show. I didn't really see there being much of a point in shoehorning that into the show tonight. He could have given that time to the main event. Dry Chicken Without Flavor, The Pinnacle, and House of Black has unofficially formed an alliance to destroy their common enemies. They have formed an alliance. Yeah, Lucha Bros has a great theme too. Actually, when Lucha Bros came out at All Out and made their entrance, and they had their live entrance sang, they got sung down to the ring. I thought that entrance was fucking badass. So Lucha Bros is another good one. They got some cool ones in AEW. And now I think we're all caught up on your super chats. So thank you guys for all of your support, all your messages, all your questions. It really does mean a lot to me when we do these streams each week. You guys coming out and showing some love and showing that support. And please do follow me on Twitter at Solomonster, and you can vote in the polls. Let me know what you think of tonight's show. 87% thumbs up on Dynamite tonight. Seems to be where things are going to settle. You know what that sound means. It is time for Be the Booker. We will pick a WrestleMania main event at random here. Always one of the more hotly anticipated parts of the stream. So, let us be the booker and see what the WrestleMania main event is going to be. Always have fun with these random generators here. Boy, you know, this guy again, I picked him last week and thought we screwed the pooch. And here we go again. Hurricane Helms comes up here as one half of the WrestleMania main event. And his opponent will be... Wow. I could not have timed that any better. John Moxley. John Moxley and Hurricane Helms in the WrestleMania main event. What do you guys think? Does that work for you as a WrestleMania main event? Because it don't work for me. Sorry, Mox. I know he's going through some shit right now, but that ain't no WrestleMania main event. That ain't no WrestleMania main event for me. Let's try the maybe we'll have some more luck with the ladies here. I don't have a lot of luck with the ladies. But maybe tonight will be my night. Let's give it a shot. Let's pick an all-female WrestleMania main event and see how we do. Well, you know, somebody asked me in the Super Chat a few minutes ago about Liv Morgan. There she is, Liv Morgan. And let's see who Liv Morgan is going to be matched up with here. It'll be Liv Morgan and Bianca Belair. You know what? I can live with that. I can live with that. You know, two-night WrestleMania. You want to have a women's main event or something? You build up Liv Morgan, great underdog story, Liv Morgan against Bianca Belair, who's already headlined at WrestleMania earlier this year. I could live with that. No buzzer for that one. Stephen Chapa is grading papers. He's doling out those C's, those C pluses, those D minuses. Juan Ocampo, he's grading Juan's exam. Giving him a D minus. Quintus Brown, buy, sell, or rent wrestling themes. Stone Cold, Macho Man, and Shawn Michaels. Well, I'm going to have to sell on Macho Man. I'm going to rent Shawn Michaels, and I'm going to buy Stone Cold. And if any of you say that you have not sang Shawn Michaels' theme song alone in your room or in the mirror, you are a fucking liar. I think all of us in here at least one time have done that before. I would do it here on the stream for all of you if I wasn't going to get hit by a copyright claim on the song. I would give you my sterling rendition of Sexy Boy, but I guess I can't do that. Mike, oh boy. That, I caught myself there. I caught myself there, Mike. Hey, Mike, thank you for the $5 super chat. I was thinking about those redheads from a few minutes ago. Is there or has there ever been a wrestler that will not work for WWE? I think her name is Tessa Blanchard. Oh, you mean their choice or that WWE wouldn't hire them? Because I would think Tessa is probably on that list. Even the people who I think say that they would not work for WWE eventually end up working for WWE. Bulu Fatulu, Bill Murray. Bill Murray or Dan Aykroyd, a better Ghostbuster. Of course, Bill Murray. Venkman. Can't vote against Venkman. Boots. With the $5 super chat. I get dumb baby face syndrome if I hear Africa by Toto. I like Africa by Toto. Every time I play like an 80s playlist on Pandora or something, it's one of the first songs that comes up. Used to go to a bar in the city called Joshua Tree. They would always play it, and they would have television screens where they would show the music videos with the 80s songs. They would always play that song, and everybody in the bar would sing. Pre-pandemic, I do miss those days. Bulu, Tears for Fears or Men at Work? Better underrated 80s band. Men at Work. Drew Johnson, Salamos, you're the man. See you next time, my friend. Well, thank you, Drew. Thank you for the super chats, and thank you for hanging out with me tonight. Dr. NXT Scorpio, luckily, that will be a forgettable night one main event. Night two will be better. Sorry, Liv and Bianca. Plus Ultra Adrian with the $2. Buy or sell Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat? I like both, but I was always a Mortal Kombat guy. So I will go. I have a Mortal Kombat 1-Up arcade downstairs. I do not have the Street Fighter one. So I will say Mortal Kombat. It's actually Mortal Kombat 2 is the arcade, but it's got Mortal Kombat, Mortal Kombat 2, and Mortal Kombat 3 Ultimate Edition. Epsilon Sama, think Danhausen will be all Elitehausen. I think Danhausen has to heal up his Leghausen first. Danhausen suffered... Danhausen and Mance Warner. This is crazy. So both these guys were on the same independent show the other night, and both of them suffered, I believe, the exact same injury. They broke their tibula, fibula, like multiple bones in their leg, or their ankle. They're going to be out for a while. So Danhausen has to heal up his Leghausen before he wrestles anywhere. So a speedy recovery to him and Mance Warner. Those are not fun injuries, I would imagine, to heal up from. Bulu, buy or sell Vader Bomb from the top of a steel cage or a drink face? A drink face? I think he means stink face from Bastion Booger. Now you're getting ridiculous. Neither. Both of those things sound unbelievably horrible. Let's see, we got some Evanescence fans in the chat. Evanescence was great. Evanescence has a lot of great songs I like. My Immortal is one that always gets me. It's just a very sad song. When I listen to it, it's a very emotional song for me when I hear My Immortal. There's two versions of that song. I'm thinking of like the band version that has some more bass to it. It's a great song. But man, it always makes me so sad. EJ Slemp, look who's here. I thought we were missing EJ tonight. He says, joined late. Just got back from a meeting. I do want to ask, how would you feel if AEW buys Ring of Honor? They make it AEW's developmental system. How would I feel about it? I mean, look, if it keeps Ring of Honor alive in some way, I think that would be great. You know, Ring of Honor might come back. It just might be a very stripped down version of Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor claims that they are going to come back. I think Ring of Honor as we know it is dead. When I say as we know it, Ring of Honor as it has existed in the past, as it even currently exists, is dead. When and if it comes back in April, let's say, which is what they're hoping for, it's going to look very different than it did even a week ago. So Ring of Honor will never be the same again, I don't believe. If Tony Khan wanted to swoop in and buy Ring of Honor and use it as some sort of farm system, I don't think that would be a bad idea. I think Dustin Rhodes, I think, is either opening or has opened a wrestling school, and he wants, I think, that to sort of be a training ground, officially or unofficially, for AEW. So between that and the Nightmare Factory kind of funneling talent into AEW, I don't know if they really have a need for it right now. I think what he would probably have better luck with is buying that tape library, just because they have so many, you know, talents that came through Ring of Honor who now work for them, and then the All In footage that Ring of Honor owns, they could really monetize that, I think. Dry chicken without flavor. Since Andrade and Black are partners, WWE will book Charlotte Flair and Zelina Vega as a tag team and call them the Deadly Queens or the Queens of Glory. I'll bet you money that they don't do that. Roach Killer Chris Savage. Buy or sell on what would be more shocking? Tessa coming out at number 30 in the Women's Rumble, or Triple H as the Joker in the Casino Battle Royal? Well, Triple H is a lifer. He's not going anywhere, so obviously that would be more shocking. Triple H has to stay away from wrestling for a while. He's got to heal up. I love, by the way, the fact that they said he had a cardiac episode. The man hasn't been around. The man has been completely out of commission now for months. Hasn't been heard from, really. I mean, he might be tweeting, but this was more than just a cardiac episode. It's called a heart attack. It's probably what it was. Hopefully he's doing better, though. But I think it was probably more serious than they originally let on. But thank you, Roach Killa. Dr. NXT Scorpio, greatest 80s song of all time. Have fun with this one. Greatest 80s song of all time. You know, my favorite song is Out of Touch by Hall & Oates, which is from the 80s. So that probably would be my answer. But you're going to hear Michael Jackson, you're going to hear Thriller, you're going to hear Billie Jean, you're going to hear a lot of that. And you wouldn't be wrong, though. Those are great classic songs as well. But me, I'm a Hall & Oates guy, and I think Out of Touch is probably my favorite song. See, it wasn't as challenging as you thought it would be, huh? He thought he was going to stump me on that question. Del Fuego said, forgot Juan's super chat. Did I? Let's see. No, I did. I read Juan's, where he took me to task for Super Mario. No, I read it. I got it. I got him covered, but thank you. Thank you, Del Fuego. Terrence! What's going on, Terrence? With the $3. Hey, Solomonster, buy or sell on what dream match would be better, Kurt Angle against Bret Hart or Kurt Angle against Mr. Perfect? Kurt Angle against Bret Hart. Yukio rules. Did you like Linkin Park at all? I did. I did like Linkin Park. And I'm trying to think of what song of theirs would have been my favorite. I liked a whole bunch of them. They had a song called Points of Authority. I remember liking that one. Boy, that takes me back to that whole, like, ruthless aggression era. It's amazing when you think of certain bands or certain songs, just hearing it or just thinking about it, how it just takes you back to a certain period of time. The way that music does that is amazing. Yeah, and it was funny. I was listening to a Moby song, actually, on one of my playlists. They played Moby, and it took me back to the mid to late 90s, and there was a song at the end of the original Scream movie called First Cool Hive, which is a Moby song. It's an instrumental song, but that song is fucking great, and just hearing that song, that's another song that when I hear it, it takes me back to the movie, but it takes me back to that whole, like, period, like 1995, 1996. It's just amazing how music does that. I don't know if that happens to you guys, but certain songs do that to me. Bulu Fatulu, Lonely Road of Faith, or Only God Knows Why, better Kid Rock song. Lonely Road of Faith, I'm always going to associate that with that video package, the WWE video package. Demolition, thank you for the $4.99 super chat. Thank you, my friend. Bulu says, better Linkin Park song, Numb or In the End? in the end. What was the Linkin Park song they used in Transformers? Was it What I've Done? Maybe it was What I've Done. Remember Sugar Ray? Remember the band Sugar Ray with Mark McGrath? EJ says, buy, sell, rent. The Ramones, The Clash, and The Sex Pistols. See, I be honest with you. I really wasn't into any of those. I really wasn't. But if you force me, buy, sell, or rent, I probably would buy the Ramones, I would rent the Clash, and I would sell the Sex Pistols. Okay, so from Transformers, it was What I've Done and New Divide. I was thinking of What I've Done. What I've Done is one of my favorite Linkin Park songs, too. I think from the original. I think it was the first Transformers movie, I believe. God, it's been so long. When did that movie come out? It's been a while. Man, you guys are taking me back down memory lane here in the chat. Wow, the first Transformers was 2007. That was the first year of the podcast. You see, by the way, on your screen is the 14-year anniversary logo. That's the same logo that is on the Sound Off Anniversary t-shirt, which, cheap plug here, you can pick up on Pro Wrestling Tees, ProWrestlingTees.com. There's a link in the description down below. Next week is the 14-year anniversary. So if you were going to celebrate along with me and wanted to pick up a shirt, now would be a good time to do so. But that logo you see on the screen, you can get it on a black shirt, you can get it on a white shirt. We'll be using that logo all month for the month of November here. All right, so Juan says, other than One Night Stand 05, which wrestling event did you wish you could have attended in person in the last 10 years? So you're only you're limiting it. You're only limiting it to the last 10 years. Well, that's not fair. In the last 10 years, I think it would have been a lot of fun to have been probably at that Revolution show last year, the AEW Revolution show, that last pay-per-view before the pandemic started. That's still one of their greatest events they've ever produced. I was at the first Double or Nothing in Vegas, and I'm that was the night Jon Moxley debuted, and I'm glad I was there. That was also a lot of fun. I'm looking forward, actually, to them being back in Vegas for Double or Nothing, hopefully next year. So yeah, I might say Revolution from last year. I was at a bunch of WrestleManias, so I kind of hit all of those. Yeah. That's probably the one that I would have loved to have been to. Or, you know what? Funny you mentioned that. Probably Punk. Punk's return at the United Center in Chicago for that Rampage when he came out. Being there for that reaction, that would have been fun. Dry chicken without flavor, buy or sell, a steak dinner or smoked salmon. I'm not much of a salmon guy. Solid Monster and salmon, eh. I'm a steak guy. I would rather have a steak dinner. Right? Aren't we in agreement? Well done steak with ketchup, right? That's right. Well done steak with ketchup. That'll piss some people off. Steven says, favorite Smashing Pumpkins song. Disarm is probably my favorite Smashing Pumpkins song. Journey or the Eagles. It was a little before my time. I'll go with Journey. I just think of the Sopranos finale. Probably go with Journey of those two. The Salmon Monster. Yeah, there is no Salmon Monster here. There's no Salmon Monster here. The only fish you'll see me eating usually maybe are fish sticks. That's about it. I'm not really a fish guy. Like shrimp, but you know, salmon, cod, you're not going to find me having fish. NXT had steaks yesterday. I saw that. I saw that with Briggs and Jensen. What a review that's going to be, by the way, for that NXT television show when I review it on the podcast this Sunday. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Drew Johnson, thank you for the $5, man. And King Fresco just subscribed to the channel. Welcome, King Fresco. Hit that sub button if you are not subscribed. Asuka and her thumbs are waiting for you. Please do sub. But Drew wants to know, Coolio, apparently not a question, just a statement. Coolio, Gangster's Paradise. It's a great song. It's a great music video, too, with Michelle Pfeiffer. Fantastic Voyage is another Coolio favorite of mine. I think I actually like Fantastic Voyage more than I do the other song. Any update on when Sound of Gamer will return? Well, probably not for a couple of months. I have a new laptop on the way. You'll be happy to know. I have a new laptop on the way. It is a beast of a laptop. But I'm not getting it for at least 2 months. It's going to take at least 2 months. Well, it's showing 2+ months. That could be anything. It could be 3 months. It could be 9 months. I have no idea how long this is going to take. But it is a Lenovo Legion 7i. So with an NVIDIA GTX 3080 card, I mean, it's got some good specs, but I'm going to have to wait. I feel like once I have that machine, if it's up and running and everything is working fine, at that point we can start talking about more Sound of Gamer. But I'm going to have to be patient. I'm not a very patient person. I'm going to have to be patient. Del Fuego, wine with your steak. Not really a wine guy. I'll drink wine if I'm at a party or family's house for the holiday or something. You know, a little bit of white wine or something is fine. But I'm not really a wine guy. Del Fuego says, end together Limp Bizkit. Oh, don't. Now he's bringing up Limp Bizkit. It's a lot of people who don't like Limp Bizkit. Limp Bizkit was trending the other day. Why is that? Are they back? Does Limp Bizkit have a new album? Is that why they were trending? Or is Limp Bizkit, did he get into trouble? Why was he trending the other day? I didn't care enough to actually click on the trend and see why he was trending. EJ says, curious to hear what is your opinion on Madonna. Big fan of her songs. Not really any of her more recent stuff. But her shit from the 80s was fucking great. I don't care what anybody says. Madonna in the 80s was the fucking shit. Can't hate on My Way. Now, Limp Bizkit, My Way is a great song. I didn't say I hated Limp Bizkit. I just said there are a lot of people who hate Limp Bizkit. But like Rollin', My Way, there was a song that they used for WrestleMania 19. I forgot the name of it, but I remember liking that one too. Limp Bizkit had some good songs. I'm not going to say that they didn't. What other bands have you heard from wrestling clips or promos that got you into them? That's a great question, actually. I don't know about bands, but as far as songs and stuff, Placebo, Running Up That Hill. I had never heard of Placebo before. And I think I found one or two other songs that I liked of theirs. That was from the Shawn Michaels Undertaker video package for WrestleMania 26. I tell you what, though, like, post-Attitude Era, like 2000, 2001, 2002, all those metal bands or new metal or whatever it was, I learned a lot from those WWF video packages as far as learning about new bands and, you know, finding new songs that I really liked and stuff. And I kind of miss those days. Now I feel like the music they use is just not as good. POD, that's right. EJ says, I never would have heard of POD were it not for Rey Mysterio. Saliva, that's right, Saliva. Saliva is another one. God, like 2001. That year in particular, I feel like there was so many of them. And then you have Bodies by Drowning Pool, and obviously that was one that they were using. And then 9/11 happened, and after 9/11 happened, they weren't using the song called Bodies anymore, which I guess you can understand. Drew Johnson with a $5 super chat says, "This Drew Johnson guy is the man. His super chats are the best. They're pretty good. They're pretty awesome, I have to say. This Drew Johnson guy is all right with me." Demolition says, "Build a Bridge by Limp Bizkit for WrestleMania 19. Yes, that's what it was. Build a Bridge. Thank you. It's driving me nuts trying to figure out what that was. Puddle of Mud, Stained, Mudvayne. I didn't listen to a lot of Mudvayne. Skillet. That's right, Skillet. There's a song called Hero. That might have been Skillet. There's a song called Hero that I thought was really good, too. Crack Addict. I'm not calling you a crack addict. Frost just reminded me. WrestleMania 19 was, I think it was two songs. It was both. It was Build a Bridge and Crack Addict. You got to build a bridge so the crack addict can actually walk across it to buy the crack, and then he can walk back. I think it was both songs, though. System of a Down. System of a Down was Sugar, right? Sugar. They used that in a video package, too. I think that was for Unforgiven. The six-pack challenge in 99. They used Sugar. Sugar by System of a Down. And another song. Timelessness by Fear Factory. That's a great song. That's another one of those songs, though, that really, when I hear it, I associate it with certain things, and it makes me very sad. But it's a really powerful song. Timelessness by Fear Factor, I'm telling you. I look at it as a sad song, but it's a song that I really like. Creed? Creed is like the quintessential band that I know from all the WWE videos they did. It's like Nickelback, right? Everyone shits on Nickelback. I actually like Nickelback. Burn It to the Ground is one of the better Raw themes over the years. Fight me. I don't give a shit. I like Nickelback. Or liked. I don't know too many of their recent stuff. Dry Chicken says, Jim Johnston should be in the WWE Hall of Fame. Absolutely. There's no reason for him not to be. Del Fuego, Crack Addict, WrestleMania 19, and Build a Bridge, Survivor Series 03. Was Build a Bridge Survivor Series? I thought maybe they used both songs for WrestleMania, but maybe that one was Survivor Series that year. Shinedown, Godsmack. Voodoo. What was that, Godsmack? Voodoo? Papa Roach. Boy, we're just going through the whole list, aren't we, here? We're just going through the whole list of bands here. Marilyn Manson, The Beautiful People. Mr. Ozone says, "I discovered Shinedown from WrestleMania 22. I dare you." You know, a lot of wrestling fans only discovered Peter Gabriel because of Big Time for WrestleMania 22. Fuel, Leave the Memories Alone. I'll tell you what we'll do. I'll tell you what we'll do here before we wrap up. Since we're talking about music and everything, and I get questions sometimes, I'm going to open my Spotify playlist here for you. And shout out to Chris Manson. He's been a Sound Up channel member, a legend, for 7 months. What's going on? What's going on, Chris? I hope you're doing well. I'll just give you a sense of what's in my playlist, for those of you who care. To show you how ridiculous my playlist is. And just the ridiculous mix of different songs that are on here. I'm not going to read all of them to you, because there's 300 of them here, but Some that I think you guys should look at if you've never heard of these bands before. There's a song called Take Me Back by Kalax and World Wild. Look that song up. That's a good one. Skeletons in the Attic by Dance with the Dead. Dance with the Dead is a good band. What other ones might you guys enjoy? Look at it. We go from Madonna to Hall & Oates to Meek Mill. I'm telling you, it's just, it jumps around here. John Carpenter to Jar, the band Jar. Well, I got Judas on here. I got one Fozzy song on here, right? We got Judas. What else we got here? What should you guys be listening to? Well, we got Bulletproof by Godsmack. I got Chris into Nolan Thomas. It's the one Nolan Thomas song. Hey, little brother. Yo, little brother. It's the only Nolan Thomas song I think I've ever heard. Let's see here. I want to give you guys some good ones here. Hey, you know, there's a song by Wang Chung called Space Junk. I think you guys may enjoy. Let's see here. Dr. NXT Scorpio says, imagine liking Nickelback in 2021. I joke. You joke. Nickelback gets more hate than they deserve, I think. La 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 la. We go from Rihanna to Jackson Browne to Stevie Wonder, Superstition. Banana Boat, Harry Belafonte from Beetlejuice, right? Old Town Road by Lil Nas X and Billy Ray Cyrus. There's a song called This Night by Black Lab. Really good song. All Around Me by Flyleaf. Any Flyleaf fans out there? Into the Fire by Dokken. Nah, I got no Luther Vandross on this list. Bulu says The Lox or Wu-Tang Clan. Better New York rap group. I can't go against Wu-Tang. Gotta go with Wu-Tang Clan. How about... I'm not telling you about this song. Psycho Killer by Talking Heads is a classic. The Reckoning by Within Temptation. I hope you people are writing this down. There it is, Disarm by Smashing Pumpkins. I mentioned that a few minutes ago. Got Dreams by Fleetwood Mac, the remastered version. Pilot's a great band, P-Y-L-O-T. You gotta listen to Pilot. Pilot is a great band. I mentioned Pilot to you guys on the podcast probably about a year ago, or over a year ago. There's a Pilot song called The Return, which is fucking awesome. They have another song called Alice that's pretty good. Look up a song called Sahara by Fool. It's an acronym, F-O-O-L. It's called Sahara. It's an instrumental, but it was a movie that came out many years ago called The Guest. That's how I heard that song for the first time, and I fell in love with it. If you're more into kind of, and this is it's a newer song, but it's got like an 80s sound to it. There's a song called Bad Dream Baby. It actually has a pretty cool music video that goes with it. Bad Dream Baby by September, let me see here. Hold on. September 87. So look that up. I got a few more for you here before I let you guys go. I got a few more for you. Uh, Now, some of you might think this is blasphemous, right? Because there's only one Beat It, right? The original Michael Jackson Beat It. There is a remix version of it. Not even a remix. It's like a cover version of Beat It. It's Quixiotic and LeBrock. Just type in LeBrock. LeBrock Beat It. I love that version of Beat It. I think they fucking nailed it. It's a great version. I played at the gym. It's a great gym song. So you can listen to the original, and then you can listen to the LeBrock version. I'm a fan of LeBrock. Oh my goodness, some of these songs. The fuck? I have SpongeBob SquarePants theme song on my goddamn playlist. Look at this. How the hell did that end up on here? Are you ready? How did that end up on here? I have SpongeBob SquarePants on my playlist. SpongeBob SquarePants is between Post Malone and Foreigner. Now, I'm willing to bet that I am the only person on the face of the earth that has SpongeBob SquarePants between Post Malone and Foreigner. And we got some White Zombie, More Human Than Human. I don't know. I don't know how that ended up on my list. Surely that was a mistake. Yukio rules. Will we hear Solomonster rap one day? Probably not. Drew Johnson, Billy Squire, Stroke. That's a great one. That's a great one. I got Ninja Rap on here by Vanilla Ice. Wow, that's going back a ways. Mortal Kombat. I will say the Mortal Kombat movie theme from many years ago is a great, great song. We've got... Okay, now we're getting into the most recent five or six here. Actually, you know, I found Malachi Black's AEW song. It's a real song. It's like 7 minutes long. But I didn't know who sang it. And the song is called Augentrust. Augentrust by Amenra is the name of his full theme song, if you were wondering. We got Cruel Summer by Bananarama. I've got Too Hard for the Fucking Radio by Mac Dre. Got any Mac Dre fans here in the chat? Hey, the Coug 97, I do have Shania Twain on my playlist. That don't impress me much. How did you know? How did you know? Are you eavesdropping on my playlist? Yeah, so I'll give you one last one here. This is actually a song I only first heard about a week ago. I was listening to one of the stations I have on Pandora, and this one came on, and it is called, and you guys are going to like this one, it's called Signals. It signals the Volcor X remix. That's the one. Volcor X remix by Fury Weekend. So look that up. Signals by Fury Weekend. It's the remix version. Fucking great song, man. It gets me pumped up. I'm going to be back in the gym tomorrow morning doing cardio. And I'm going to be listening to that. Plus Ultra says, I'm from the West Coast. It's illegal to hate Mac Dre out here. I think that's the only song of his I have on my list. What is cardio, Solomonster? What is cardio? Put down the donut and do some. If you don't know what cardio is. Is it on Apple Music? Are you talking about that Fury Weekend song? I don't know if it's on Apple Music. It's definitely on Spotify. But bring it up on YouTube first. You can listen to it there, and you'll get a sense if you like it or not. Del Fuego said, well, Dr. NXT Scorpio. Hold on a second. I'm way behind, actually. A whole bunch of super chats came in. I got to make sure I don't miss anybody here. Hold on. And then we'll wrap up. Then I'll let you guys go. I'm enjoying myself here, but I don't want to go too long here. Radical, of course I have Hathaway. I have the song that you probably think I have. Of course I have Hathaway. Cranberries. Dry Chicken says Boombox Brock will dance to your playlist. Dr. NXT Scorpio says, now we know Solomonster listens to SpongeBob. I have exposed myself tonight. Not in that way. But I have exposed myself, yes. Aye, aye, Captain. Del Fuego, ready for Rocky IV Director's Cut next Thursday. Funny you mentioned Rocky IV. Where is it? I have No Easy Way Out by Robert Tepper. I have No Easy Way. You want a great gym song. There you go. No Easy Way Out. Bulu Fatulu, Bobby Brown, or Ralph. I don't know who that is. I don't know who that is. But he says Bobby Brown, Roni, or Ralph Tresvant, Sensitivity. Better song. The only Bobby Brown song I think I ever really liked was My Prerogative. That's about it. I don't even know what that other song is. Brandon V, thank you for the $10, man. On Delay, went to Revolution last year with a scratched cornea. One of the best shows I've ever been to. Was there for Punk's return. One of the coolest moments to be a part of live. Still gives me chills. Well, I'm jealous. I think to have been in the building that night when he first came out, you could barely hear the announcers on TV. I can just imagine your first appearance in 7 years. He walks out in Chicago in front of a packed crowd like that, 13,000 people. EJ, favorite and least favorite Super Bowl halftime show next year is Snoop, Dre, Eminem, Mary J. Blige, and Kendrick Lamar. I mean, I usually go over to someone's house, you know, for the whole Super Bowl thing. I don't remember much about them, honestly. You know, I remember the weekend from last year. I remember whatever happened the year before. The only other one I really remember is the whole controversy with Janet Jackson and Justin Timberlake, and that was probably 15 years ago at this point. I don't think I have a favorite. I sort of tolerate them, you know? I'm more interested in the commercials. And Bulu, Legacy from Eminem is awesome. Solo, don't know about New Edition. I know about New Edition. I've heard of New Edition. Spice Girls, yeah, I've got Spice Girls on here. Two Become One, you know. You can't get one by me. Ace of Base, I've got the sign. I mean, it's all on here. I didn't read you the whole playlist. Boots. Our boy Boots. The $5. Just came back from watching Hall & Oates music videos. New personal goal is to memorize the lyrics to You Make My Dreams. I've already memorized the lyrics to most of their other songs. I'll give you one more and then we'll wrap up. I want to give you guys a good one. I got a Tupac song on here. How Do You Want It? Do you have Spanish songs on your playlist? Yes, of course. There's some great Spanish songs that I love. I got Mi Gente on my list. Mi Gente is what was playing in the background when I fucked up my knee in Costa Rica. Or not Costa Rica, in Colombia. So I will always associate Mi Gente with me injuring my knee. It's a great song called Dead and Gone by Stabbing Westward. That's another one I would recommend. Drew Johnson, Solomonster is the man. Holy shit, look at that. Drew going out with a bang, dropping $50 here on this stream. There it is on your screen. Sad Vince McMahon. Drew, you're fucking awesome, man. Thank you. Thank you for the support. The only thing I wish I could do is play some of the music. It kills me I can't do that on YouTube. But of course, Stairway to Heaven, Led Zeppelin. Got to have that on the playlist as well. The Bad Touch by the Bloodhound Gang. Bulu, Saved by the Bell or 90210, better teen show? I never watched 90210. I never watched it. I never watched Melrose Place. I was a Saved by the Bell guy. Bayside High. You want a cool one? I'll give you another cool one. This is not a band or anything that you guys would probably know, but it's a pretty cool song. It's called Me and the Devil. Look that up when we're done here. Me and the Devil. Soap and skin. It's all one word. Soap and the and symbol skin. Soap and skin. Me and the Devil. Danza Kuduro by Lucenzo. I got quite a bit of Latin music actually in my playlist. You'd be surprised. I might not understand what they're saying, but I love the music. All right, well, listen, this has been fun. I've had a blast actually hanging out with you guys tonight, going down memory lane, going through all this fine music. Hopefully I have given you some suggestions to add to your playlist. Not counting SpongeBob. I still don't know how that got on there. That's my story and I'm sticking to it. Dry Chicken says, Boys to Men, Motown Philly. That is another good one. It's not on my playlist, but I used to listen to that many years ago. Until the end of the road. I remember dancing with a couple of girls at school dances to End of the Road by Boys to Men. It'd be like the last dance of the night, slow dancing. I'm going to be back with you guys on Friday night. Now, who knows? Maybe we'll lapse back into some music talk at the end of the night. If you're not doing anything on a Friday night, come join me live. Rampage, rather, is live this week. So as soon as Rampage goes off at 11 o'clock, I will be back here for the full review with all of you. Hopefully you will join me. Usually it's a quieter night, but maybe we'll get some more people in on Friday. And then this weekend is episode 729 of the podcast. Technically, that is the 14-year anniversary show. But we're going to be doing a 14-year anniversary stream separate from that, probably. Probably in a couple of weeks. I think I might time it where we'll end up doing Survivor Series predictions and your questions. And we'll just hang out and super chat. We did that last year. It was a lot of fun for the 13-year anniversary. So I think we'll do the same. We'll probably do the same in a couple of weeks. Anyway, be well. Stay safe. Thank you for the fun times here tonight and all the super chat love. And again, if you're not a channel member, do consider becoming a channel member. Always trying to come up with new content for our channel members. You got Discord access. It's kind of quiet in there right now, but trying to build up the Discord roster that's exclusively for channel members. You might have to hit me up with a message, though, because I'll probably have to generate a special link for you. So anyway, yeah, hit that join button and it'll give you all the information. All right, I'm out, guys. Have a good night, and I will see you back here on Friday night for the Rampage stream. Take care.